Welcome. You're about to hear a commentary from me, Barry Sonnenfeld, the producer and the director of the pilot of The Tick, and one of The Tick's biggest fans.
Stay in the kitchen. Someone's got to don the oven mitts of all that's right and strangle the red-hot throat of all that.
This first shot is a visual effect shot that then will tilt down, and you'll see this old-fashioned bus that actually was shot on the Universal lot. And the only thing that remains from the Universal lot is a road, the bus, and that bus sign. The rest was all visual effects. The production designer on the Tick pilot was Bo Welch. I worked with Bo on Men in Black, Men in Black 2, Wild Wild West. He made a huge contribution to the success of the series. Here we have Patrick Warburton, a man created to play the Tick. He played Putty on the Seinfeld episodes. He is so great. I then immediately cast him in Big Trouble, in Men in Black 2. The antennas on his costume have little micro motors inside, and in fact, there was a puppeteer controlling his ears, his antennas, the whole time. And in fact, by the end of the first episode, Patrick was jealous of his antennas because he sensed that he was getting laughs because of what his antennas were doing, and he was very jealous and would say, "I think we have too much antenna action," which is kind of pathetic of an actor being sort of jealous of part of his own props. Ben Edlund was the creator of The Tick comic book, The Tick animated series, and now Ben was a producer, writer, creator of The Tick series. This guy who Patrick is talking to in this shot was a great actor if for his nose alone. He was in Wild Wild West. He had a small role. And we shot the entire Tick episode in only 8 days, which is very different than shooting a feature film. It was incredibly fast work, and we had just a great time doing it. This was all shot in about half a night at Universal.
Well, goodbye, grateful bus station man. You don't know what you'll do without me, but shed no tears.
The Tick's brilliant costume is designed by Colleen Atwood, who just this past year won the Academy Award for Chicago.
This wasn't really a magic hubcap.
Meeting Ben and getting Ben to agree to do this as a live-action series was incredibly great for me. I love the irreverence of the series. I love the fact that you have a superhero that is full of, you know, banal, boring kind of life. Here we have Christopher Lloyd, who is doing me a favor. Chris appeared in the two Addams Family movies as Fester. And this was about half a day shoot, this entire scene. I think we started here and then went out and did that night footage you just saw. David Berg plays Arthur. He's incredibly great. The thing that interests me about comedy is to create absurd situations, put actors in those situations, and then make them play those situations for the reality of the situation. Never let your actors admit they're being funny. Never let an actor admit they're being in a comedy. We shot a lot of the movie with wide-angle lenses, which you can see in a shot like this gives sort of a strange immediacy. You can sense how energetic the camera is just because of the lens selection we used. I love his outfit. I love that Chris Lloyd did me the favor and came in and did this day shoot. Part of what we talked about was that The Tick, in a way, was not unlike Seinfeld. It was a superhero show about all the stuff between when superheroes were actually doing things. You know, they spent a lot of time at the local bar or a cafe. And I wanted to make a series where you saw the stuff in between the jumping from building to building and putting out fires and saving cats.
Well, the poor bastard needs a machine to poop.
We have all these freaky characters playing their freaky, weird, absurdist situations for totally the reality of the moment. You always create absurd situations and then always have the actor play the reality of the situation. You don't want the actors to admit they're in a comedy. You don't even want the film lab to know you're making a comedy because they'll print everything too bright. Because they say, oh, if it's a comedy, it should be bright.
It's going to be a tough row to hoe.
Again, here we are, still at Universal, still on the first day of shooting. And that's Patrick actually up there on that rooftop with cables. This is a matte painting. This was shot against blue screen. And he jumps into a big pad. We're still at Universal, although this interior was the Formosa Cafe, which is a famous cafe in Hollywood.
A superhero!
This is an example of what I mean about what superheroes do when you're not actually doing superheroic acts, like that guy who's been around a really long time. Although we were at the Formosa Cafe, this was all shot during the day with painted out windows. If this show had continued, I wanted to do more and more scenes that took place in this cafe. I thought it could have become like the diner in Seinfeld. The world of the Tick is a very stylized world. Everything about the show, from the characters' dialogue to the sets to the costumes, they're sort of a non-existent era. This is a set that Bo Welch had designed for us. That's me and Ben Edlund sitting there looking overweight. I brilliantly stuck out my stomach to look particularly couch potato-like. I really am as firm as Arnold Schwarzenegger. Bo built this wonderful rooftop set, which is another hangout for our superheroes, as you'll see.
Who am I kidding?
Comrades, the Red Scare, the finest secret...
We're still back at Universal Studios. I think we had a total of two nights to shoot all the exteriors.
1979, does it still work?
Does it still work?
It's in many ways, Arthur is the way in for the audience. We needed Arthur to be the audience's sort of point of view into the series. I try to get as much vomiting in the things I direct as possible, although almost always off camera.
Sorry.
In a way, Arthur is not unlike the Will Smith character in Men in Black at the beginning of Men in Black 1, where Will Smith is our way in to seeing all this surrealness. He allows us to be absurd in every other way. Again, Patrick getting concerned that his antennas are funnier than he is that night. Right there, you can tell that Patrick, after that take, said, you know, I heard people laughing and I didn't think I was that funny. That wasn't the antenna guy doing something funny again, was it? And of course it was.
What do you say?
Help.
Oh, hey, great. Thanks.
Patrick is one of the truly great comedic actors I've ever met, and he does so much with so little. In fact, the less he does, the funnier he is. This was written for a really big fight sequence, but with 1 hour before sunrise, it became a more sort of stylized jump cut situation. It's not a campy show. It is actually almost a realistic documentary version of this world. You never want to have the audience feel that the actors are winking at the camera or acknowledging that this is a put-on.
Come on, Mothman, to the rooftops!
Ben Edlund's sense of humor and writing is just brilliant. I love his use of malaprops. I love his flowery words that really are about nothing. He's really an incredibly unique voice in superhero writing. And it was just a pleasure working with Ben. And he has an extraordinary giggle. We're back on the Bo Welch designed set shot here at Sony. The line producer for this whole sequence was a guy named Graham Place, who's done every movie with me, who did a brilliant job in letting us do all this incredibly cheaply. That was done with a little wire that we removed in post-production.
You saw a robot.
You lucky duck.
Wow!
This is the brilliant Batman. Well, I love working with him. He's incredibly, brilliantly funny by doing very little and by playing everything as real as possible. It's Nestor, and Nestor is just a great actor. I remember when I interviewed him, and I so wanted him to be in the show. He said, look, here's the thing. I'm done with doing, you know, that Spanish accent thing. So if you want me to do the Spanish accent, I won't be in the show. And I said, I want you to do the Spanish accent. You will be in the show and you'll be brilliant. And of course, he's in the show and he's brilliant. Now, this is Liz Vassy. Liz, I had first met on the pilot of Maximum Bob, which was a really good television show that I produced and directed the pilot of and didn't stay on ABC very long because it was kind of too quirky. But Liz is great. If you listen to Liz, you'll hear she's one of the few comedic actresses that can talk incredibly quickly.
Start with you, infant. I don't have time for your nonsense.
Yet incredibly articulately. You can understand every word she says, and she talks really fast, which is a secret to comedy.
It's right down there.
I'm working on having him deported.
She fears the demons I have awoken in her womanly places.
He just flipped over a car.
Ground one to airship. Target the Euro trash and fire on my command.
Lesbian?
We should have taken your...
The tick is the ultimate innocent. I don't think he understands exactly what sex is or even, for that matter, what kissing is. I think he believes in truth and justice and good and evil. I believe that the tick is a virgin. One of the difficulties about doing the tick was that I don't think that Fox really understood what the tick was. I think that Fox, which was the network that aired the tick, didn't really embrace and really didn't understand the nature of comedy superhero movies. They were asking questions like, where was the tick before he was at the bus stop? Where does he get his superpowers? What are his superpowers? Is it because the planet has a certain colored sun? It was very difficult experience because you have to sort of either buy into the tick or not. I think Fox, although they were supportive of making the show, didn't really understand tonally what they had. This is a very wide-angle lens. The show was shot by Greg Gardner. It was the first show I worked with him on, but after working with Greg on this show, I ended up doing Big Trouble, Men in Black 2 with Greg. He's really talented, really fast, really smart, very tall, and also, not unlike Ben, has a strange and unusual giggle. Bo designed the set to have a very low ceiling to make the tick seem even bigger. You can see how it seems that the ceiling is incredibly close to his head. It was a brilliant costume, but it in no way breathed, and it did not allow Patrick anything but depression and perspiration over the many months of shooting. And again, all the sets are designed to let his blue costume really pop. You can see we use a lot of okra and greens so that the blue really... Oh, there's funny antenna movements, which probably were upsetting to Patrick.
This whole thing was a mistake. Apparently superheroes are just a bunch of egotistical, self-centered, sexually frustrated kindergartners. No offense intended.
More brilliant Ben Edlund writing. I just love the writing in this show. I think Ben is just a genius.
I'm downtrodden. I'm not Mothman. I'm not a super...
The idea of the doing the tick as a live-action show came to my production company from Floaty Suarez. Floaty had been a big fan of the tick on Cartoon Network. And felt it would be a great thing for us to do as a live-action show. And it was Floaty's idea to do it. It was Floaty's idea to meet Patrick Warburton. And I'm very happy I did, because he's just the best, Patrick. I must tell you that, for me, the tick, I feel, is the single best thing I have directed. I've been very proud of some of the movies I've directed, like Get Shorty and Men in Black and Adam's Family. I loved directing the television show of Maximum Bob. The Tick, in a 22-minute nutshell, it represents all the things that I feel are endemic of my directing. The visual style, the sense of droll, quirky humor. Only Ben could create concepts of Red Scares and Jimmy Carter and all these sort of outdated notions and make it into a sort of pilot for a contemporary show. Again, we're back at Universal Studios, you know, their back lot. All the cars that we use in the show are sort of vaguely curvy and of a non-existent era.
Hey, idiot!
That was me saying, hey, idiot. We're on a tiny little elevator set. Obviously, the elevator isn't moving. We just got lights flashing. This image is an image I stole from an exact shot I did in a movie I directed called For Love or Money with the same exact brass plate.
I can't fight the Red Scare.
Yes, you can.
I'm just an accountant.
People change. People
die. Here's an example of comedy playing out in two shots.
Looks like we're going to be late.
But I don't want to poop with the machine!
No one's asking.
You can see very wide-angle lenses are used. There's nothing better than a guy with a blue uniform and antennas leaning in close to the lens. This show is edited by Steve Weisberg. Again, it was the first show I had worked with Weisberg on, and he went on to edit both Big Trouble and Men in Black with me. One of the difficulties going into the Tick was the difficulty of knowing that it was quirky, off-center, unusual. And what happens is networks are always saying, we want something different. We don't want something that looks like every other show on television. We love The Tick because it's visual and the writing is unusual and it's quirky and different and doesn't look like anything else on television. And then 6 months later, you're hearing from the same executive saying, the problem with The Tick is it's quirky, it's unusual, it doesn't look like anything else on television, we're not sure how to sell it, we're not sure when to put it on, we're not sure how to advertise it. It's just too original and quirky. This is one of my favorite shots coming up. This angle right here. I just find Patrick incredibly funny here. There were no sparks, there were no elevators, it was just Patrick leaning out past a piece of wood, and the rest was all created in post-production. I love the banal stupidity of The Tick.
No, we're not, Mr. Ex-President.
Arthur is about to become a superhero.
Grab onto me and hold tight.
If you think getting those wings to work was easy, you're wrong. It was really annoying. And here comes a truly cheesy crash. We had run out of money by the time we were doing the Red Scare. So the Red Scare is not designed by Colleen Atwood, but was something we sort of cobbled together from some costume department at some studio. I love this scene. Cut to black and cut to post-crash. That's the great thing about television. And here's one of my favorite lines. I believe it's gravity is a harsh mistress.
Gravity is a harsh mistress.
Only he said it better and funnier than I did.
And that's how we vanquished our first supervillain and how Arthur learned to fly.
We're back here at the Formosa Cafe.
Saved a president.
Yet the evening's greatest victory is the friendship forged between this heroic duo.
And that guy behind Batman Well and Captain Liberty is Will Smith's assistant, Bilal, who asked if he could be in this show.
Two of the
talk of the town, you know. I'd be honored if you would sign my cast.
Oh, sure. Boys, I was...
What do you do when you're between jobs? You know, you hang out there waiting for your phone to ring. You maybe find out from some superhero that there's some cool new villains in the next town that, you know, maybe we should go over there because we cleaned up too much of the crime in this town.
Jack. Look, four strange treats from the Orient.
Coming up is a line of dialogue that my wife and I still use on almost a daily basis, which is a message from my teeth.
A secret message from my teeth.
I just love this moment.
Road to hell is paved with good intentions.
There's something so thrilling about doing a 22-minute television show in 8 days and having great actors working on it and a great set and production design and great writing, and at the end of a week, you're done. You know, the movies I work on usually take between 1 and 2 years between pre-production, production, and post-production. And there's a real sense of energy and momentum. There may even be a little homoerotic sort of nature to the relationship between the Tick and Arthur. I'm not sure.
How's your sister?
It's great to find four actors that really liked working together. They all had incredible respect for each other. They're all incredibly nice people. I hope that we sell enough DVDs that there'll be an outcry to make a feature film version of The Tick. This is Barry Sonnenfeld signing off, saying thank you for watching The Tick. I'm incredibly proud of it, and I hope you enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed making them.